give our worship back to you. Tell you how grateful we ought to be. So good to us. Continue to bless this morning, this time. Continue to pray.
All right. Wow. That was fantastic, wasn't it? When they were, yeah, when they, that was great. Thank you. Students. When they were singing that one chorus, I leaned over to Donna. I like, Wilson Phillips. They sound like Wilson Phillips. She was like, shut up. I'm worshiping. that was great. That was fantastic. That gave me the chills. Wow, it's an honor to be here. My name's Jamie. It's an honor to be here on graduation, this graduation celebration. I love graduations. I love changes of seasons and new things like that, but I love watching the next generation move. Wow, we need the next generation bad. I don't feel like we've done well in my generation. I feel like we're leaving them a leaky ship, but I have a lot of confidence in them, and yeah, we need to really pray for them. I'm excited about that. So I was thinking about a couple of things before we got here Thursday, and then being with the team that we've been praying with and speaking with over the weekend here on hearing God and identity and all the things that we like to talk about. But then when I found out it was, oh, it's graduation. Oh, it's this movement of the next generation. And the idea of as we go, as we're going into life, these monumental moments of graduation and all the dreams. I remember graduating from high school a long time ago and just thinking, all if I was in those video there, I would just say my name and I'm going to graduate in criminal justice, and my goal is to go be a police officer and all that, and how much that happened and how much more. How that dream was like big to me when I was 18, and by 29, it was like, wow, I was aiming low. But God didn't care. He was like, dream as big as you can. I promise you, it'll be low. No matter, I think there's a verse about that, how no matter how much you dream or imagine, it's more than that. If as we go, we're paying attention to Jesus. Like, that's the key, isn't it? And not paying attention to him on the big days, but really on the unimportant days, I've learned is more significant than on the big days. The big days like a celebration of every small day, every Monday and every Tuesday that didn't matter and you felt bad, and those days. Those days when everyone else quits, when everyone else stops, and you just keep going. Why? Because we have a king that is before us and behind us and the right and the left who's going. I always feel like Jesus is going, come on, what are you doing? Come on. And he's laughing at me all the time. I'm like in this very dramatic situation. I'm like, oh God. He's laughing. He's like, wow, seriously? Really? I'm not participating in your drama. That's his favorite line to me. I'm not participating in your drama. Like, I'm taking over the police department. What are you doing? Like, you know? And I'm sitting here worrying about money. And he's like, you know, see, we can't do that. We got to move. Don't be anxious for stuff. In fact, instead of being anxious, why don't you just talk to me and thank me for stuff? Like that. That's how he talks. I love it. If you haven't heard him, I'll introduce you to him later. But So as you're going, like, so that's the point. And I want to say, so I'm going to say this to the young people that are here, but it's applicable, I hope. So it kind of made me focus on what I felt like the Lord would say or wanted me to say about students and about as we go and how important that is. And so here's the passage that came to my mind, two actually, but I'll just read these to you. This is from John. So we want to focus on Jesus as our example. Jesus is the model of what we're supposed to be like, right? It's not like he's an unattainable. He's a picture of what it means to be fully human now, and how to have peace. In the song we were singing, singing hallelujah in the storm. Not like we live above the storm or outside of it. We're in it, but we can sing in it. That's our great strength and power. It's not that we escape stuff, it's that we can go through it without fear. and come out on the other side. And even though we die, we're raised again all the time. Fail, raised again. Blew that paper, raised again. Missed that opportunity, let's do it again. That's how it is. That's what resurrection is. It's like, Jesus, I fell down. I know, I'm waiting here until you get back up. I'm not going to sit down there with you. I want you to get back up and we'll start walking again. Like that. And so what's Jesus, the things that Jesus says when you're thinking about Jesus' words on Monday or Tuesday or like those days, what he says actually has more power than when you're hyped up somewhere. So here's what he says on a boring day. Here's a boring day. This is what he starts talking about the sheep, which is us. And he starts talking about, well, how do you know who the good shepherd is on Monday when everything's discouraging and you're in your second year and the first year was awesome and now you're in the second year and it's not that great, but like that. He says this, starts talking about, well, you gotta know who the shepherd is so you pay attention to what's happening. Every day, every moment, pay attention to what's happening. Don't tell me what's happening. Ask me what's happening and I'll tell you things that you don't even know that are happening that'll make you excited. So he starts talking about sheep. He does this a lot. And he starts talking about the shepherd. This is John 10. He says, but he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Because his thing is like, you're going to get out into life and you're going to lose track of who the leader is. And you're going to start listening to voices that are not the good shepherd. And they are going to hurt you and discourage you and cause you to be afraid and feel ashamed and like you're not good enough. That's not the good shepherd. So he's pretty big on, you better recognize the voice of the shepherd above every other voice in your life. Because there is a lot of voices that are going to hurt you. So he says, the watchman opens the door for this one, the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice and they heed it. And he calls his own sheep, here's one of the keys, by name. Do you know when the world is calling you, when the enemy is calling you, he never will call you by your real name. He'll call you by less than who you are. You know, you're not very good at this. That's how that one talks. Do you know they're way better than you? Why do you think you can do this? Why do you think God will help you? Where have you seen God help you? That's how the other voices talk. Not the real shepherd. The real shepherd, you know his voice because he calls you by name. So it would be good to know the name he calls you. There's a thing to work on Monday or Tuesday. And the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. That's another way you know his voice. He's not like, hey, Jamie, I'd like you to sit in the lazy boy for the next year. That he never talks like that. He leads you out. When you hear his voice, he calls you by name and he goes, guess where we're going? Out. From what? Wherever you are, out. Because we'll go in and build a wall around it and not let anyone else in. He's out. Here we go. He comes into the fold to lead you out. When? How often? Every day. All the time. Because he wants you to be all that you can be and you'll never do it sitting somewhere fearful and complaining. So that's how you know his voice. He calls you by name and he goes, let's go. Like that. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks before them. So where is he? He's right in front of you. He's always right in front of you going, here we go. Here we go. Wasn't that great that you accomplished that? Yes. Here we go. Let's go to the next level. Wow, it's like, it's so beautiful. It's like you can't get bored with the shepherd who calls you by name, who leads you out. Because every time you're like, I think I got this. Good, because we're going to the next level. When? Now. How much train? Now. Don't I get to go through a course? Nope. Here we go. The course is out there. Here we go. Like that. I got to read a book on this. Read while we walk. Let's go. When he has brought his sheep outside, he walks before them. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They know where he is. Oh, there he is. I didn't know you were over here. Yeah. I didn't think you went over there in this neighborhood. Oh, yeah. Because I don't go in that neighborhood. I know. Let's go. They will never on any account follow a stranger. If you know the voice of the good shepherd because he calls you by name and he's leading you out, you will never be deceived by any other voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from the stranger because they do not know the voice of the stranger or recognize their call. Wouldn't it be great as a parent, you know, and now we have grandkids, but as a parent, knowing that, because we were always in another country when our kids went into university in the U.S., and they went to liberal universities, which is like, you don't have a chance in there, right? That's what we think, except the good shepherd went with them. Actually, he went in front of them. And like our oldest son, who I wouldn't say the university, but he went to a university, and when I visited the university with him before he got accepted there, we were looking at campus organizations, and there was every organization you could imagine except anything Christian. None of that allowed. But boy, any other thing you wanted to get into, they had it. And I'm like, are you okay with this? And he's like, yeah, I think Jesus goes here too. So, it's okay. And so he goes there. He goes into that university. He's an international relations major, minored in Arabic. He actually did a double major. And he did really well there. And one time we were talking to him because we were in Iraq, living in Iraq while he was in university here. And he said, man, I had a great day in my philosophy class. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I gave a speech on the philosophical basis for something. I didn't know what he was talking about, but it's all right. You know, as a parent, you're like, great. And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, he said, and they booed me while I was doing it. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, no, it was so energizing. You weren't crushed. No. You want me to come talk to the professor for? No. Please, I beg you, Dad. No, stay in another country. But why are you energized? He says, because where am I going to learn how to speak truth better than among people that are up in opposition to me? I'm like, well, that's the way I raised you. Like, who is this kid? Like, what? Why is he saying this? And what he meant was, and this is, he's an attorney now and all, you know. And so what he learned was that Jesus would take his message out into a world that didn't know it. Not just stay among people that already know it, but to go out. Why? Because the good shepherd leads you outside of your fold. Out. You can always come back and then go back out like that. And then the bar was set for the other sons as they went off. It's like, let's go out. But they went with the good shepherd. And it was hard being in another country and dropping your kid off. The second one, I didn't even go. You know, it was number two. It was like, not Donna went, but yeah. And then the third. But we were always in another country, and they would go into that. And it was just so good to know. Here's what we knew about our kids. They knew how to hear the voice of God, and they knew their name. That's what they knew, and they were fine. Because Jesus is a better advisor than I am to them. And that's how they grew. So that's what Jesus is talking about. So then he goes on to say this, which I think is really interesting. Same passage, John 10. He says this, and I, the shepherd, I have sheep besides these that are not of this fold. So Jesus is telling, look, follow me. I'm the good shepherd. I call you by name. Follow me out. We're going outside. Oh, and by the way, you're not the only fold of sheep. That's fairly devastating to hear. I thought we were the only fold. Nope. I have sheep in other folds. You do? Yes. I must bring and call them also. And they will listen to my voice and heed my call. So they will be, and you will be, and you will become one flock under one shepherd. So that means, Jesus, as we go with him, he's like calling other sheep from other folds that we may not necessarily like. Because you are not the only fold. I like to think I'm the only fold. You're not. You're not. And so Jesus is out. And you remember the time when the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, we heard people talking about you on the street and we don't know who they are. And Jesus is like, really? I love how he talks. What did you do? We told them to shut up. Jesus is like, oh my gosh. Why? Because we don't know who they are. Jesus is like, oh, so you have to know who they are in order for you to give them permission to talk about me? Yes. He's like, that's wrong. That's not right. I have sheep in other folds. And they're mine, and they're my people. And I'm calling them to, and you are not in charge of who's in what fold. I am. Wow. So let's go. Here we go. And out they go. So the key as we go is to hear the voice of God. Hebrews 4 says, the word that God speaks cuts through all of the nonsense of everything right to the very depth of who you are. So when the good shepherd speaks, his word is like a sword that just slices through all the nonsense and politics and all that stuff right to the heart of what you're afraid of and who you really are. And let's go. Stop talking about, let's go. What? Win this place. Reconcile this place. Let's go. Stop sitting around in your separate folds debating. Let's go. I'm calling you by name. Wow. That's a good shepherd. So, thinking about these students and this, I was thinking about in January of this year. So Don and I were praying. I don't know if you do this because I like changes and seasons. And we were praying and asking God, God, for this year, what's like the thing that we need to keep on our mind through this year? I don't know if you do this or not. This is helpful to us. And so so we pray about it, you know, and then on January 1st, we like tell each other, like, this is kind of my word for the year, so we can hold each other accountable and challenge each other. And so my word, my idea, it was an idea for this year is two words, remember transformation, remember transformation. So interesting. You know, when God says things to you, you know how you always are like, you question him almost immediately, like, are you sure? You know how you do that? Everyone in the Bible does this. Are you sure? Like, do you know what's happening down here? You must not, because if you did, you would have said something besides remember transformation. Like, what does that mean? He's like, exactly. You don't know what that means, so but I want you to remember transformation. And then as the year goes, and as you're going on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday with him, and you're listening to him and following him, and he's saying, remember transformation. And you're in a situation, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know what needs to happen right here, right now? Transformation. Don't forget it. Transformation where? Right here. Do you know how often God wants transformation occurring inside of you? All the time. All the time. Not once. Yeah, I remember in 1962, I was transformed. Pretty much the same since then. Like, wow. Think of the world if it never transformed. It would be dead, actually, is what it would be. So transformation occurs all the time. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How often? Every day. When? By how? By presenting yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And by the way, stop conforming to all the patterns of the world. Get out of the fold. Come with me. I'm calling you by name and let's go. Be transformed. New place, new thing, new person. Let's go. Let's talk. And remember transformation. Transformation here first, then transformation out here. Wow. Help these people discover transformation. People have lost the idea of being transformed. We think the way we do things is it. And we got to keep it this way forever. Wrong. Wrong. Because then you'll have to stay in one fold to do that and you'll never leave it. You'll just try and maintain it. Wrong. The shepherd's going. Here we go. Calling you by name. Let's go. Aren't you bored? Come on. Aren't you sick of the same discussion? You know what they're going to say and you're going to say before you say it. Aren't you sick of this? Let's go. Out. Let's go. Different. Let's be transformed. Let's learn some new stuff. Let's learn a different way of thinking about things. Let's go. Here we go. Man, what a life. And these kids are thinking that's what it's going to be like when they get out there. What happens when they discover, really, it's kind of boring. And you just kind of get into a pattern and you just stay in that pattern and you die there. Wow, when you're young, it's like, no. We're going to transform this thing. And the older people are like, yeah. We thought so too. Gosh. So, that's my word. Remember transformation. And then this young guy calls me from a university, big university, Division I university, and he's a student there. And he calls me. I don't know him. He said, hey, Jamie, tells me his name. Yes. He said, I work at this university, and we work in several universities around the state, and no one here knows you. And I'm like, thank you. You just called me to tell me that? Thank you. And someone gave me something you did, and I listened to it on identity. And he said, I think that's what we need to hear at our universities. He said, but the staff in charge of everything, they don't know you. I said, okay, twice you've said that. Okay, I get that point. Keep going. And he said, but I think this is, as the next generation, I think we've lost our identity. And I don't think the older generation knows identity either. So we want to talk about identity and hearing from God. Okay? So he said, so if I can get permission for you to come here, will you come? Yes, absolutely. Because I love this young person that's asking me this question. I love it. Yes, of course I will. So he makes the case. The other people agree. I get invited out there, so we went. So the deal was at this university, and they had 150 student leaders. It's a Christian, completely Christian organization. The Christians are the ones that invited me. And so they invite me out there. I'm asking the Lord, okay, what do you want to say in this environment with these 150? The 150 don't necessarily know each other. They're from different campuses and all that. And so the topic is identity. I'm the second speaker on. So there's going to be a big intro night, and then I'm going to do two sessions and whatever. So I get there and meet this young guy. I'm honored to meet this guy. Wow, I really appreciate your vision. I'm praying this is everything that you're thinking and God is leading you in. Way to take a risk, step out on maybe a touchy subject. And great to me, I just really respected him. He introduces me to his little group of friends that are trying to do this new thing. And he says to me, hey, by the way, this is what he said, it was hilarious. He goes, our main speaker for the opening night, he got injured yesterday. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, yeah, he was eating pizza and he got injured. I don't know, just think about that for a while. I don't know. Like, he's not very resilient, apparently. He got hurt by pizza. Wow, okay. Anyway, he's unable to speak. Where's the pizza place that he went to? Like, what happened? Anyway, he goes, he can't speak. Can you just do the whole thing? And I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. Right? Whenever the Good Shepherd invites you into something, here's the best response. Yes. That's the best response. Yes. When the Good Shepherd calls you and says, hey, I'm inviting you into this, and don't say this to him. No. Don't say that. Don't say that, because then you're not being transformed. Then you're just going to conform to what your own little safety fold is. Don't. Say yes, and then just pray that He's with you in the process, but then he is, because he goes before you. So say yes, because you'll do stuff that you would never do. And then life becomes pretty exciting. And then you do it and you're like, I felt like I could do that. Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. Good. Did you enjoy? Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next level then. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. So I say, yeah. He says, okay, just start with identity and we'll just go through the 2-3 days. Beautiful. So I go into the room. I'm asking the Lord, the Good Shepherd, as I'm going. I don't know. I forget what night this was. A Thursday night. And I'm just sitting there and I said, Lord, what do you want to talk about? Like, I have ideas. I know certain things. But anything I'm not thinking about that you want to talk about? And I feel strongly that God's like, just don't talk about identity. Just do it with them. Which I don't know anyone in the room, so except the one guy that's risking his career on bringing me there. Don't worry about him. Okay, so I'll just do identity in the room. Do it in the whole room. Okay, just take him through it. Don't explain it to him. Just do it. Okay, right? So I get up there. Right before I get up there, these three people come to me. They're graduates, they're staff people, and they say, hey, when you get a chance, would you talk to us about international students while you're here? You know, you guys lived in a Muslim world for a long time. Can you talk to us about that? And I asked them. So I don't know how many campuses are represented in this gathering. It's statewide, and the campus I'm at is massive, big university. And I said, how many Muslim students are coming to the international outreach in all of your campuses? Guess what the number was? Zero. Wow. None. Okay. It's not shocking, unfortunately, but that's, yeah, they're not coming. Okay. All right. Well, can we talk about that later? I'm like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Get up. Do my thing. Go up there. So for those of you that are in the training here, which is fantastic, this is why I love Christ Fellowship, but identity, training, and hearing from God, discipleship, and all this beautiful stuff that I wish I knew when I was 18. But and so I get up. They're all sitting at tables spread out across this room. They're mixed in. Some know each other. Most don't. And I just start this thing. I just start. Here we go. We're going to do this together, and we're going to talk about it when it's done. Here we go. Ready? Boom. And I just lead them. All right, everyone, take a piece of paper. Let's pray, God, help us understand our false identities and say what they are. This is called confession. Ready? Write down on a piece of paper all the names that the world calls you, that hurt you, that destroy you, that you call yourself, that are not from God. Write them down. Go! And everyone's writing them down, all these tables. I wait 3 minutes, because everyone knows these false names. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You look wrong. Write them down. You believe this every day. You listen to this voice every day. Write them down. Here we go. All these students are writing them down. Good. Ready? Close your eyes. God, Jesus is the exact representation of the invisible God. Give us a picture of how we should see Jesus so we can picture God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Give him the false identities. Ready? Go. Everyone, give Jesus the false identities in any way that you see it in your mind. Do it. Ready? Go. Wait. Okay, when you give them to him, watch what he does with your false identities. Watch what Jesus does with false identity, the names that the world calls you, the names that the enemy calls you, the names you call yourself. Watch what he does when you give him those false names. We wait 60 seconds. Ready? Okay, good. Now, here's what you need to do. Take out a piece of paper, blank piece of paper. Look at Jesus, who took all your false identity, and ask him, what do you call me? What's the name that you call me, Good Shepherd? When he calls you a name, write it down. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Now, any of you could do this. Anyone in here can do this. And I'm telling you, it's life-changing for people when you do this with them. Now, if they weren't believers, it's a little bit different, but not much. Anyway, so we do that. That's done. People start to cry. And I say, okay, now, into the 150, raise your hand if you knew false identities that you refer to yourself at. Everybody in the room raises their hand. I'm not kidding. Even the cleaning guys in the back that were waiting to switch the room, like, we know. Raise their hands. Every human knows the identities that are killing them, that make them never come out of the fold. Never. Because we're not good enough and we fall short of the glory of God in you. Because the world or somebody said, you're that. And we're like, yeah, I know. And you're out. You're done. Everyone raises their hand. Okay, now, good. Thank you. All right, now raise your hand if you could visualize Jesus in any way. 96% of them raised their hand. Yeah, we could imagine being with Jesus in some form or fashion. Good. Of those of you that raised your hand, how many of you, when you handed the list of false names to Jesus, Jesus took the list and went, oh boy, wow. How many of you saw Jesus look at the list? Nobody raises their hand. Nobody in the room raises their hand. So I say to them, because we've done this a lot of times in a lot of countries with all kinds of people, believers and not, and Jesus never looks at the list of false names. And I say to them, how is it that you don't know each other and you don't know me? according to this guy that brought me here, nobody here knows me. That's all right. How is it that none of you saw Jesus? Look at the list. How is that possible? And they're all just looking at each other like, we don't know. And I said, because Jesus can't look at what's not true. And those words you call yourself are not true. What did he do with them? Yell it out. What did he do? And students just start screaming out. He burned it. He threw it away. He ate it. He put it in the wound in his side. Everything. Jesus does everything with that list except refer to it. Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Boy, you can come to Jesus. Jesus, I know I'm not good enough. And he doesn't even hear that. He goes, who is talking to me? Is that my mighty warrior talking? He can only refer to you as he made you. And that's all he will ever call you. Don't be afraid of the good shepherd. Because he will only call you the name that he gave you, whether you believe it or not. And the problem is we don't know that name. And so when he's going, hey, mighty warrior, come with me. We're like, who are you talking to? And we miss him. He's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. You? Who? Mighty warrior. Me? Yes. Do you know where I'm from? Yes. Smallest tribe? Yes. Worst team? Yes. What did you call me again? Mighty warrior. Yeah. Come with me. That's what he's saying. Let's go. I have sheep and other folds. I'm bringing them. Let's go. They're deceived like you. Let's go. We'll join them up there and we're going to take this place. Remember transformation. Here, there. So, that's great. That's fine. And then at the break, it's very moving. People yell out the names. How many of you heard a name? They start yelling out, beloved, crying. Like, I haven't taught anything because Jesus just decided to do it at every table in every heart without me saying anything except, listen to Jesus. Here we go. Listen to Jesus. Here we go. That's all I was doing. So it's like John the Baptist. You don't want to talk to me. This is the one. That's John the Baptist's whole ministry right there. And I'll decrease, he'll increase, and I'll go on to the next thing. That's it. Beautiful. So at the break, this guy comes up to me. And he's standing there, and he's kind of, you know, like this student, big guy. He was a scholarship athlete. He says, he introduces himself. He says, my name is Muhammad. And I'm like, oh, huh. And I said, yeah. And I go, how'd you like that exercise? And he goes, well, he said, I'm a Muslim. Yeah. How'd you like the exercise? He goes, well, I said, did you not know a false name? Oh, I know the false names. Oh, yeah. I said, well, what happened? He goes, I can't image Jesus. I'm not allowed to image Jesus because we can't image prophets. We're not allowed to imagine a prophet. He's standing there with his list of false names. He goes, I don't have anyone to give these to. And I was like, wow, that is a bummer. Here he is. We're not going to debate Islam and Christianity. We're not doing any of that. Here's a human being who knows he has false identities and he knows he has no one to give them to because he's not allowed to see Jesus. What are we going to do about this? So I'm going to do this quick. So I say, now I know the answer to that because we've been working with Muslims for 27 years. I know exactly what to say to him, but I want the good shepherd to say it to him. Who cares what I think? Who cares about my clever way to prove the gospel? It's like he's watching people in the room talking to Jesus. Why does he want to talk to me? All he wants to know is, how as a Muslim can I see Jesus? So I can give him this list. Because I don't want this list anymore. And I've watched people at my table get free of it and hear another name. I want that. But I don't know the way to God because I can't image Jesus. I'm like, okay, look, I'm going to help you with this, but I want to ask God what he wants to, how he wants to talk to you. Okay, can you wait? All right, go sit down. Yeah, all right. He goes and sits down. I say to the Lord, okay, Lord, How do you want to do this with this guy? Speak. Lord, you speak. This is a third Friday. This kid is so important to you on this Friday. This day. There's all these people out there that get it. He doesn't get it. Luke chapter 15. Matthew 18. What does Jesus do to the one sheep that went that way? He leaves the 99. Lord, what do you want me to do in this room full of Christians that paid me to be here? To get this guy, I have to speak in a completely different way. Do you want me to go out? No. I'm praying, waiting for the next session to start, and I'm like, God, speak to me about what you want to do with Muhammad. And here's the song they're singing. Reckless Love is the song they're singing. Do you know that song? It's hilarious. It says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And they keep singing it, leaves the 99. I'm like, Lord, how do you want me to go after this guy? It's up, and the Lord's like, look up on the board. Like, I'm going to make this as clear as I can. 150 people are answering the question, leave the 99. Lord, I need a sign. Because here's what I know you're not going to say. You're not going to tell me to get up in front of 150 Christians and leave them for the next hour to talk to one Muslim in a way that he can get it so he can visualize Jesus and come to the Father. You wouldn't do that, would you? Let's sing it again, shall we? Jesus says. And so we do that. And so I stood up there and I said, how many of you love that song? Oh, we love that song. How many of you believe that Jesus would leave the 99? We all believe he would leave the 99. You know, it's a good thing about worship songs. You sing stuff you don't actually believe, but it's okay. And I said, good, because I'm going to leave all of you right now to talk to one person in this room. And he's a Muslim, and I have to speak a different way for him to hear. And I spent the whole time speaking to one person in that room. And when we were done, and we got in a small group and we asked God a question. In his group, he said, I wasn't in the group. He sat in his group and he burst into tears. And he said, he kept saying to the group, I can hear God. I can hear God. Jesus is the way to God. That's what he was saying to his group. And the international student leaders, when it was over, they said, you don't have to tell us anything. We watched a Muslim walk right into the kingdom in front of us because Jesus has sheep and other folds and he wants them too. And he wants us as we go to get them and we can do it. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Muhammad. He emailed me on a Tuesday and said, Jamie, I'm inviting all the Muslims that I know to my dorm room to teach them how to access God through Jesus. He goes, I don't know what you call that. I think it's called evangelism. That's what he said to me. God, this is how you work. God, I pray for these students that as they go, that they see as much importance as one person as they do in 150. And they would leave the 99 to go for the one because you would do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.